بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, I thought let me quickly summarize and try to be very brief in explaining the method of Shura. Inshallah, the reason for it, benefits of it and so on are clear, and if they are not, inshallah, they will become clear. My next Juma khutbah is on that. But just for a quick recap, so that, you know, all of us remember this, and do feel free to share this with all your friends and relatives. Please understand and remember that the methodologies of Islam are not Islam and Muslim specific. They are good for everyone, no matter who and what. If they practice it, it is beneficial for them. And this can be one of the most powerful ways of da'wah that we can have as well. Shura is consultative decision making. The way Shura is done is that there is an Amir, there is a leader for the group which is sitting down to decide on any subject. This group can be an official group in the workplace, it can be a family itself, it can be any kind of group. The issue under consideration can be absolutely anything. It can be where to go on a holiday. It can be which school to join. It can be a issue of financial investment. It can be something to do with your masjid or your halaqa or whatever. Absolutely any issue. So there is a leader. There is a leader usually called the Amir or called the Faisal. Don't worry about the names. It doesn't matter what you call them. There is a leader for the group. Now, this leader may be, for example, in the family, it might be the head of the family, which would be the father. Or it might be in a organization. It might be the president of, if it's at a board level, then it can be the president of the board. If it is at a team level, it can be the team leader, the team manager, whatever, any person who is the normal head of that group. So this person is there. The way Shura is done is that the leader asks for people's opinions on the subject. So the leader first states the subject as clearly as possible, as frankly and openly as possible. That is very important. It's very important for the leader to do two things. Number one is to genuinely have an open mind before starting the shura. A shura where the leader has already made up his or her mind and is going through the motions of the shura as like a play acting is completely and totally detrimental, and it destroys the credibility of the leader and the process. If there is a situation where you as the leader have no options, you have to choose something, or you have decided and you know that this is the best thing to do is do not have the shura, just explain to people, this is what we have to do, this is why we must do it, I have no options, I apologize to you, or this is an emergency, we don't have time to talk about this, I will explain it to you later, just be with me, stay with me. This is much better and much more beneficial than pretending to have consultation, pretending to consult, pretending to have shura, when actually it is the decision is already made up in your mind. So the important, first and foremost important thing is the leader must have an open mind with regard to the decision which is under consideration. The second most important thing is that the leader must state clearly, without any attempt at hiding or disguising or cushioning, every aspect of the case, every aspect of the question under consideration. And that's important, because if you hide things, whatever be your intention of hiding is not necessarily evil. It may be with a good intention, but the fact is that it means that the group now is talking with insufficient data. Life is full of insufficient data. If you add to that, you're only complicating and making things worse, not better. So make sure that you state everything as it is. Don't mince any words. Don't hide anything. Then the leader will ask for opinions. And the person who is asked must give an opinion, number one. Number two, if it's a general question, if the leader says, for example, please let me hear your opinion. Anybody, please give your opinion. Then the principle of the shura is that if you have an opinion, you must give it. Number two is when you give the opinion, don't say whatever you like. No, you state your opinion. Right? So do that. The leader then listens to all the opinions. And as I said, all does not necessarily mean every person present. The leader may ask the opinion of some people, and he or she may not ask the opinions of some other people. And I'll come to the reason why that may happen, but for the moment, just stay with that. Or the leader might say, you know, might actually go around and say, yes, you, this is possible. Or the third option is the leader leaves it open and whoever wants to speak will speak. At the end of that, the leader then, once again, genuineness, honesty before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The leader then takes into consideration the opinions expressed and comes to a conclusion which is in the best interest of all concerned, the best interest of the institution, if this is a institutional shura that is happening, or the best in, best what is best for the whole family, if it's in the family. So the leader's decision is based on what is best for the situation or the family or the institution, as the case might be. And that decision, everybody in that group supports it, even if that decision is different from or the opposite of the opinion that they gave. Right? So let us see quickly four things. Number one, leader is appointed. There is no shura without a leader. Number two, is this leader genuinely seeks a answer to a question, and therefore he or she puts forth whatever is in the case, frankly and openly, does not hide any facts. Number three, the leader will then ask for opinions. And number four, the leader will then decide, taking into account all the opinions expressed, the leader will decide what is best for the collective, for the institution, the family, or the case might be. Right? Now, let's look at the followers. Let's look at the people giving the opinions. Very important, three things to think about. Number one is when an opinion is asked, express your opinion. Because if you remain silent, then a decision will be taken. And after that, if you feel bad about it, you are at fault because you had a chance to express your opinion and you didn't. And then if you say, well, you know, I never got a chance. No, you had a chance, you blew it. So very important, if you are asked for an opinion, give your opinion. Number two, when you give your opinion, do two things. Firstly, always give an opinion which is good for the collective, which is good for everybody, even if it is against what you personally would like. For example, if somebody says, what time should we pray Salatul Fajr? Now, what is mustahab, what is liked, is to pray every salah at its earlier time rather than to delay it. And so the opinion is, if the opinion is asked, you say, I think we should pray Salatul Fajr as close to the starting time as possible. If not as soon as it starts, then maybe give it about 15 minutes or so for people to make wudu or whatnot, and start Salatul Fajr at that time. Now, having said that, you might say to yourself, and you know, this is very inconvenient for me because I like to sleep a little bit longer, there is still some time, and if I pray Salatul Fajr at the earliest time, then there is a long gap between that time and going to work, so I'd rather it was late. All of this may be so, but you are giving an opinion which is good in deen, and you are giving an opinion which is good for everybody. So you say, my opinion is that Salatul Fajr should be prayed at its earliest time, like all other salahs. Right? So you're giving an opinion which is best for everybody, even if you don't like it yourself. Number three, having given the opinion, you then make istighfar and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you and say, oh Allah, I said whatever I thought is best, but I do not know and you know. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيَّا فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيَّا فَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah said, this is possible that you like something and it is possible you dislike something and there is benefit in it for you. And it's possible that you like something and there is harm in it for you. And Allah knows and you do not know. So keeping this in mind, the person giving the opinion must make istighfar. Internally, you don't have to say it loudly. Internally, make istighfar and genuinely make istighfar. Genuinely apologize to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Genuinely seek Allah's forgiveness and protection and say, oh Allah, I tried to do my best to whatever I knew. Oh Allah, protect me from the evil of this. If there is any evil in it, protect everybody else from the evil of my opinion. If there is any evil in it, save us all from that, because I don't know and you know. So when you're giving an opinion, there is a huge element of humility that the person giving the opinion must have and must experience and must be conscious of. We're not giving the opinion as, this is my opinion, I am the expert, and everybody else is dumb, so I don't even know why this Amir is asking anyone else's opinion. My opinion is the only one which counts. I know you are not going to say all that, but that is what is in the hearts and minds of a lot of people when they give an opinion, right? And then if the opinion is not taken, then they get very angry, they get upset with the Amir, they get upset with everybody else, and say, bunch of fools, they don't take an expert opinion. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah, may Allah protect us from such attitudes. So, three things for the opinion giver. Number one, if you are asked an opinion, give an opinion. Don't remain silent. Number two, give the opinion which is best for everyone, not which is convenient for yourself alone. Number three, having given the opinion, seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of whatever you opined, the evil of whatever you suggested, because this is entirely possible that what we say, there is evil in it, and therefore we ask Allah's forgiveness for that. Second issue is, if you are not asked an opinion, usual thing is, if I'm not asked an opinion, I will sit there and feel bad about it, and I will feel resentful about it, and I will say, people don't even ask me, and blah blah. No, if you're not asked an opinion, then don't speak, unless, and remember this, if you're not asked an opinion, don't speak unless you have some facts which are critical to the issue, right? Now, it's possible, because the leader is not a mind reader, so the leader may not ask you. He does not know that you have this critical information, and they might end up taking a decision which is disastrous. And if only you had shared the information you had, they would have averted that disaster. But if you didn't share that information because you were sitting there feeling bad, nobody asked me. And then if you say, well, you know, if you knew this, why didn't you say that? Oh, you know what? This leader never asked me. So why should I say? La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. This is horrible, right? So please don't do that. Make sure that you do not speak unless you are asked, unless you have critical information, in which case you raise your hand, you seek attention, you ask for permission, and you say, I have some information which is critical to the incident, to the issue under consideration, and here is the information. Give the information. But unless that is the case, your opinion is not a critical information. Please understand that. We are talking here about data. We are talking about critical information. We are not talking about your opinion. So opinion you will give only if you are asked. Data, if there is data, give the data. If that is critical, do not hold it back. If you hold it back, then you are being dishonest and you are doing khanaat in amana. So that is the first thing. Do not feel, don't speak unless you are. Second thing is, do not feel resentful. On the contrary, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. In the first case, I asked you to seek forgiveness of Allah for having given an opinion which may have been harmful. In the second case, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Alhamdulillah, Ya Rab, you saved me from speaking. You saved me from giving an opinion which could have been harmful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Now, the third thing which applies to everybody, which is that once the Amir takes a decision, then it is incumbent. It is a requirement of brotherhood. It's a requirement of teamworking. It's a requirement of followership. It's a requirement of your integrity that you support that decision. Yes, the Amir may be wrong. Yes, the decision may prove to be wrong later on, because after all, the Amir is not God. The Amir is not the Rasul. The Amir is not superhuman. So he or she may take a decision which turns out to have been a wrong decision. Doesn't matter. You support the decision because you are part of the decision-making process. Now, this is what the Shura does, which is it involves everyone, and it involves them in a time-controlled manner. Because if it was just a matter of getting everyone's agreement, then I know that those meetings can be completely never-ending, open-ended. But that does not happen. The Shura saves you from that. The Shura ensures that the meeting has a closure, and it enables all relevant opinions to be taken into consideration and the decision to be taken. Final point. Now, what must the Amir do? The Amir, having taken all the decisions, must consider them and come to, having taken all the opinions, must consider them and come to a conclusion based on what is best for everyone. Again, not what is in line with his or her desires. Number one. Number two, the Amir must seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Ya Allah, this job of the Amir is not a job that I ran behind. It's not a job that I was seeking. I was given this job. And incidentally, this is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do not give Amara, do not give Imamat to the one who is asking for it. Right? Some of the ulama, and among them my shuyukh, they have taken this opinion even where somebody says in Taraweeh, somebody says, I would like to lead Taraweeh. They say, sorry, you will not be allowed to lead Taraweeh because you asked to lead Taraweeh. Why would you want to lead Taraweeh? For what? Because if you are praying with the intention of pleasing Allah, why are you so keen that you should lead Taraweeh and people must listen to your qirat of Quran? If you are saying that, no, I am only interested in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listening to my qirat of Quran, then recite aloud in tahajjud in your house. Right? If you are saying, I want to lead, what does it mean? It means that most likely there is an element of riya, there is an element of showing off, there is an element of pleasing people, and la hawla wa quwwata illa billah, you are committing shirk standing on that musalla, sorry. So do not give imamat, and do not give imamat also in the sense of leadership to somebody who is seeking it. So in Islam, there is no canvassing for leadership. There is no, none of that stuff which we do in terms of elections. So anyway, to come back to the subject, the point here is that the Amir must understand and have the humility and humbleness to know that he or she does not know everything. He or she knows very little. That this job of leadership is a horrible job which has been given to them, and they are taking it only reluctantly because to lead is one of the duties of the Muslim, alhamdulillah, but not to lead with arrogance. So you lead with humility and make lot of istighfar, lot of tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, weep, stand in tahajjud, cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Ya Rab, save me from the evil of whatever I may have decided and guide me to decide that which is best for everyone. My brothers and sisters, this is the, in sum total, the whole issue of Shura and how it is to be done. I hope this is beneficial for everybody. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help me and help you to get the benefit of what I am saying and to save you and me from the evil of it. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika rahmatullahi.